You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. 6:06 in the morning. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media radio network. Or watching us on social media, catching us by podcast, all the other ways to get here. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. What's your musical guilty pleasure? You know, the one that, anybody can listen to whatever is currently, you know, popular. What are the big hits right now? But what about those things that you tend to listen to, you know, on your own? And it could be a wide range of things. We'll go into what they all could be in just a minute here. But specifically, I'm going to bring up Neil Diamond because of a movie that's going to be opening soon, a Wisconsin-based movie that might just become the feel-good film of the holiday season. We're going to talk about how actor Hugh Jackman came to town for the premiere of Song Sung Blue, telling the story of a Milwaukee couple whose Neil Diamond tribute band was a bit of a local sensation back in the 80s and 90s. And yesterday, Hugh Jackman also took a shift at a Cop's frozen custard stand yesterday, scooping custard for customers as part of the promotional tie-in for the movie. And let me tell you, for somebody whose mom raised him on a steady diet of Neil Diamond tunes, I am perfectly positioned to ask about your own guilty pleasures, because for all those years, I'd be like, Mom, turn that off. Mom, Neil Diamond sucks. Turn it off. Now I know the words to every song, and about half of them I'll turn up. Some I'll still turn away from, but it's just that little, it's become a little guilty pleasure, I guess. And look, you have your own. It could be the Carpenters. It could be ABBA. It could be Nickelback. What's the other one? Parker Olsen's producing this little shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Coldplay. That would be a modern day one, I think.
Where, yeah, it would.
People don't want to admit they listen to Nickelback or Coldplay, you know, right now.
I'll admit I listen to a little Nickelback. I will not admit that I listen to Coldplay, because I don't listen to Coldplay.
Okay. All right. Well, if you say so. So anyway, we would like to know your musical guilty pleasure at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use the Civic Media app if you wish to call us or text us, or record a voice note of you singing a little bit of your favorite guilty pleasure tune. You can sing a little Sweet Caroline if you're a Neil Diamond fan, and time it just right so that, you know, Parker and I have to go bum bum bum. We could do that, you know.
Well done.
855-75-CIVIC. What is your musical guilty pleasure? Now you've had some time to think about it. You got one that's a little bit older that maybe your mom still plays around the house, and you go, I used to hate that, but I guess it's kind of grown on me now.
I can't think of older stuff necessarily. I do listen to a lot of country music, which is something that has kicked in recently.
That's actually on my list here. That might be people who want to be rockers, but you know, behind the scenes they got a little like classic country with a little bit of a twang, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, and it could be just something that you haven't gotten over yet. You're still playing it. It could be 90s, you know, Shania Twain or something like that.
Yeah.
See, I had a couple of other examples I wanted to bring up here. Oh, like, you know, for somebody like me that raised daughters.
Sure.
You've
got a lot of pop music.
You can't call me a Spice Girls fan, but there are definitely a couple of songs where I turn them up. They remind me of, you know, these two little girls dancing around the house, you know, singing Stop Right Now, Thank You Very Much. You know, so I can still see them, and I tease them about it now that they're in their mid-30s. And I'm like, Dad. Although sometimes they'll still do the dance for us as well, so that's cool. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or send us a text or put something in the comments section. What is your musical guilty pleasure? And I just thought it was cool that Hugh Jackman came out to you know, scoop some custard and be part of, you know, the promotion for Song Sung Blue, which is a story about this couple in the 80s and 90s. And they the husband has passed away now. The wife is still with us. And there was a documentary that was done about them. About, you know, they were rather, I don't know, I never saw the word in the article, but I'll say kitschy, you know. And people would go see them at Summerfest or at the Wisconsin State Fair. And so it was Claire and Mike Sardina were their names. And Mike passed away in 2006 after a head injury. But they were kind of local, local artists of note. I don't know if local legend is the right way to put it, but one time, you know, Pearl Jam invited them up on stage to sing a Neil Diamond song there. The Wisconsin Area Music Industry Association, the Whammies, recognized them with a Lifetime Achievement Award. And so now Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson are playing the couple in the movie Song Sung Blue, about the early days of getting this tribute band put together and all the drama and the comedy that comes along with it. And it's going to open up on Christmas Day. And so the premiere, the hometown premiere, was last night in Milwaukee, which is what brought Hugh Jackman in. And he could not have been kinder and more of a, you know, of a great sport, talking to people, taking pictures with fans who came to COPS, saying that he really believes that Kate Hudson could be an Oscar contention for this movie, and said that Kate Hudson, she studied for the role. I guess she's what they call a method actor. She gets immersed in the role, and she's even like that off camera to really. So she studied for the part apparently at the Mars Cheese Castle down by Kenosha, just across the line from Chicago there, and spent a lot of time preparing there.
Sure. Where else would you study? Yeah.
Well, if you want to come into Wisconsin, but you know, can't get too far away from the big city of Chicago, you go to the Mars Cheese Castle. I liked as well that Hugh Jackman made a crack. Well, first off, he made a crack about at Ryan Reynolds because the two of them have a bit of a tongue in cheek rivalry going.
Sure.
And Hugh Jackman made a comment about Wisconsin Badgers, he's like, a Badger, isn't that like a Wolverine? See what he did there? It's an X-Men thing, if you're not familiar with it. Anyway, so there's speaking of Buckies and Badgers, did you see the Bucky documentary that premiered on Wisconsin Public Television?
Oh, I forgot it was last night.
It was last night, yes.
I've been watching the Ken Burns American Revolution documentary, docuseries.
I have not seen that yet, but I have seen the right-wing blowback from it, and it's like... Oh, they're making the founding fathers, these people that they've deified, making them look like, I don't know what, human beings?
Yeah, no, this is the problem with American history, is we really like to blow out of proportion how awesome our stuff is. Our stuff, yes, the American idea is obviously a very, 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 very revolutionary thing, and it should be celebrated. However, they owned people. That's not cool.
They
guys.
Did bad things. They did bad things to their spouses, to their kids. It's not perfect. And any attempts to say otherwise, you know, need to be rewarded with a metaphorical swift kick in the butt.
Yeah.
I was with Jane and Greg on their show yesterday, and they brought up the topic of this member of Congress, who I guess is originally from Colombia, became a citizen.
Sure.
And now wants to end dual citizenship. Says you should simply be devoted to America and America only. And those are the people that I would like most to deport. Because if you can't appreciate, you know, the human nature of all of us around the globe, that we can be proud of where we're from, but not to the exclusion of others, well, then I don't want to know you. You know,
I feel like people need to understand how complex the world and people are.
Yes.
And that would send us a long ways.
And if you can't acknowledge, you know, the faults from time to time, like, you know, presidents who commit war crimes, well, then, you know, as Tony would say here on YouTube, some would say exceptional idea, but let's just forget how they actually acted. Right. There's actions versus ideas. And he quickly jumps on there with a follow-up comment. It's not America. It's Merca. and that's it. It's the people who are like, Merca, that that bother me most of all. And actually, we're going to get into the whole wokeism thing a little later on in today's history lesson about the holidays as well. Roger puts up on Facebook, back to our musical guilty pleasures, my music to relax to is Jim Reeves. His style was as laid back as Sinatra's. And see, I can't call Frank Sinatra a guilty pleasure because, I mean, I'm just right out there. I listen to, you know, Sinatra a lot.
I don't think that for anybody, I don't think Sinatra should qualify as a guilty pleasure.
No.
I think he was too good for that qualifier. Yes.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. So 855-75-CIVIC, we'd love to know your musical guilty pleasure as well. If it's Neil Diamond, you know, that's perfectly fine. Then we got to know your favorite song. You know, what is it that, you know, got you hooked on him? So that's all ahead of that Christmas Day premiere of Song Sung Blue. Let's do a little sports here simply because at just about 6:17, it's time to engage in some conspiracies.
Oh, boy.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has scrubbed his social media account of most mentions of the Milwaukee Bucks, leaving up primarily images of championships that were won as of Tuesday on Instagram, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The only photos of himself in a Bucks uniform were from the NBA Cup Championship in 2024 and the NBA title in 2021. On X, he scrubbed all posts following the 2021 championship. The Bucks are 9-13, and he hasn't been part of a Bucks team this bad since early in his career. The Bucks are home tonight versus Detroit. So, of course, that's got tongues wagging that Giannis wants to be traded. He's blah, 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 blah. It stokes the fires. Personally, I just think it's a motivating factor, like kind of a reminder to the other people, you know, I could leave. So how about y'all step it up? So I see it more as not so much a threat as a motivating factor, but I could be wrong. Maybe we will get some big announcement. You never know.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how to read that, honestly. That does bring me more concern than anything else that I've heard, because that's like an actual thing that Giannis did.
And then the question is, who did it? He's a busy NBA player. You know,
yeah,
did he
true,
say
I
to
suppose.
One of his people,
yeah,
I need you to go through my thousands of posts,
yeah,
going back 5 years and erase everything of me in a Bucks uniform? That's not the kind of, you know, thing that you do. You do a couple of things while you're lying in bed doom scrolling, but you don't do something that deep, I don't think, without some kind of intention.
Yeah, I don't know if you're right, but I like your take about trying to motivate people. It feels kind of MJ-esque to me.
Yes, it does. Hey, I hope it works. Meanwhile, there's college basketball tonight. Badger men's basketball team taking on Northwestern. Coverage is going to begin at 7:30 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. And then there is the Packers-Bears games, plural. Now another one has been flexed. We've got this weekend's one that has already been flexed from noon to 3:25. The two teams are also going to play less than 2 weeks later, and that game on Saturday, December 20th in Chicago, is now a primetime game, kickoff set for 7:20. And of course, you can see the next Packers-Bears game coming up Sunday afternoon. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming up on the program today, we'll be talking to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks. There's been a lot of misinformation running around about Tylenol and kids. And sadly, that misinformation is coming from people in high places, people who should know better, but they don't. they're conspiracy theorists and other tinfoil hat wearers. And so Dr. Kelly Snooks will be along to set us straight on that and about flu shots as well and some other infant ailments when we visit with her along about 8:35 this morning. Also coming up on the program today, we will have Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor here at Up North News, talking to us more about what she's got in the newsletter that you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com. We've got Chris Hambuck Boyle coming in from the Wisconsin Public Education Network as we talk more about the spread of local efforts to get transparency on your property tax bills about the real cost of the voucher school program, which legislators have been keeping under wraps from taxpayers for many years. And as people see the price tag rise, they realize that not nearly enough other people know about this and should see it. Again, our question of the day, what is your musical guilty pleasure? 855-75-CIVIC. I mentioned Frank Sinatra, to which Tony apparently must be a Sinatra devotee as well, because he says, have you got Sinatra under your skin? Does he make you feel young at heart? I see what he's doing there. He also says that Chris was up in Ashland talking about taxpayer transparency on property tax bills about voucher schools. And so Chris is very well traveled that way, and we'll look forward to finding out what all that she's been up to. Parker reminds me that we kind of got off the tracks real quick there when I brought up the Bucky documentary, and then we got into Ken Burns and, you know, politically correct, you know, wokeness about the founding fathers because they're humans. But getting back to the Bucky documentary, I saw what I wanted to see, which was kind of more of the history of it.
Yeah.
You know, how did it get its start? And I don't want to give much away. I just thought it was extremely interesting. You know, you start with the history of, you know, why we use the word badgers, and yeah, it wasn't always about the animal, but about some of the early settlers to Wisconsin and their occupation. Yeah. But then, of course, you had the football team getting its start in, what was it, 1889. And a few years after that, they started trying to do more with the badger, including bringing live badgers to games.
I was going
to
say, I know that that happened.
turned out to be ill-advised, and so they went the mascot route, and it was great to see the history behind it. I have to admit that, at that point, it really was more of kind of an infomercial for, you know, for the UW and for Bucky and for everything else. There wasn't a storyline, you know, an arc necessarily beyond that. So I kind of saw what I wanted to see in the first half hour, which was followed by a pledge break that lasted about 2 hours, it felt like. And then they got back to the next part of it. And I was pretty okay after that. So I do recommend it, at least for the history of it, if nothing else. So
nice. Very cool. I will have to watch.
Oh, there will be opportunities for you to especially pledge a certain amount and you'll get the DVD or whatever it is that they do now. So, yeah. Let's see. Yesterday, there was another good old-fashioned Trump cabinet meeting, complete with another good old-fashioned garbage racist rant and all kinds of bootlicking from the cabinet members as they went around the table. And there was the effort to try to fact check this. Okay. And Daniel Dale, who was the longtime fact checker for the Washington Post, took on the assignment, and God love him for it. And so maybe we'll get through a few of those, but it's worth noting that the night before, Trump was up most of the night rage tweeting. The president of the United States was up most of the night rage tweeting, again, garbage. And then falling asleep during this 2.5 hour cabinet meeting, which was solely there so that people could prostrate themselves before the king. They talk about how wonderful he is. At one point, Kristi Noem saying, we haven't had a hurricane yet. You've kept the hurricanes away, which I know is a joke, but the obsequiousness, I really, really, really do expect at some point, even if it's half joking, the words dear leader are going to slip out of somebody's lips here. But when Trump wasn't falling asleep, he was saying just some disgusting things. And I'm going to play a sample of it. Not that he needs the oxygen, but in case you think I might be exaggerating a little bit, when you hear him talk about people from Somalia, I want you to know that people said these same things about your great grandparents, wherever they came from, Italy, Ireland, Laos, wherever. And it's a sad, ugly streak in American culture. It's something that's always been a part of us. But what else should be a part of us is standing up to this kind of garbage like this. We'll play a little bit of it, and then I'll just interrupt it midway.
Oh, I'm understanding, and you're going to look into that, Scott. I hear they ripped off Somalians, ripped off that state for billions of dollars, billions, every year, billions of dollars.
Can you pause that right there? Let's pause that just to say he's talking about in Minnesota there's a problem with some government programs and money that's been embezzled, all right? Are you really going to tell me there hasn't been embezzlement of programs in other places by, I don't know, white dudes? You're going to try to tell me that the people you rub elbows with haven't been ripping off taxpayers as well? I wonder what could be different about them. Anyway, let's play on.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks, and we don't want them in our country. I could say that about other countries, too.
All right. He goes on and on at length, but again, this is a tale as old as time in this country, that people in power and people who are a little too full of themselves or victimhood just make us look bad around the world. And thankfully, I'd like to think most of us are still better than that. Hey, speaking of woke, well, let's talk about a famous Christmas cartoon in today's history lesson. You know, the one where Santa's a jerk and the reindeer are bullies. That's up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
It's time once again for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
That's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
That, of course, is Burl Ives. Giving us Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The animated TV special by that same name premiered on CBS on this day in 1964 with Burl Ives as the voice of Sam the Snowman. And of course there was Ernie who wanted to be a dentist and Rudolph's girlfriend Clarice and Yukon Cornelius and all of these other characters. A beloved TV special that you watch year after year after year. Until it slowly dawns on you, Santa's kind of a jerk, and the reindeer dads are bullies.
What do you mean?
Watch it again now, and go, yeah, Santa's kind of a jerk. They're all about the exclusion of people who aren't just like them. You've got a red nose? Oh, you've got this disability? No, sorry, we don't want you in our reindeer games.
But, Pat, it's a story of understanding that they're different and that Rudolph can contribute. That's the whole point.
Not until they exclude him and then when they really need him. It isn't until he's functional that they're suddenly all welcoming again.
Well, you know.
You know,
not everybody's perfect.
And this is how when I hear people right now, their hair's on fire about this is that kind of wokeism we're talking about. Then maybe look at yourself and see if you've been a jerk or a bully maybe once too often. All right. On this day in 1994, Adam Sandler performed a holiday song for the first time on the Weekend Update segment of NBC's Saturday Night Live.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much funukkah to celebrate Hanukkah.
This is one of those examples where you're watching Saturday Night Live and you don't know sometimes which skits are going to have staying power. Sometimes you see something like the cowbell one.
Yeah.
And you think, all right, that's pretty good. Others, you think they've come and gone, but then you see the clip again and again and again and... That was definitely the first time I'm watching Adam Sandler do this. I'm going, okay, all right, that's kind of creative. And we're still talking about it 31 years later. So
there you go.
Because who had written a Hanukkah song prior to now? Adam Sandler did. This day in 1994. Also on that same day, 1994, Sony released the very first PlayStation, which you were telling me you have, right? Or you've used PlayStation 5. Is that the current one?
Okay. PlayStation 5 is the current one. I have a PS4 Pro.
Oh, a 4 Pro, but not a 5. Oh, okay.
Well, the 4 Pro just is remember, very old compared to
just remember, Santa's listening, you know?
Yes, but this little elf I don't think needs a PS5, to be perfectly honest with you. That seems like it'll result in bad things for me.
Okay, that sounds fine. Let's see. Businesses were a lot different back in the day. There was Pillsbury Company, for example, and Charles Pillsbury, the businessman who founded the Pillsbury Company with all those good foods and the little poppin' fresh guy, was born this day in 1842. Happy 76th birthday to singer Mickey Thomas. Now, there are some of you, and I would have been one of them until a few years ago, who would have been like, that's not Mickey Thomas, that's Elvin Bishop. That's how it was always advertised, as Elvin Bishop's Fooled Around and Fell in Love. No, this is one of those things kind of like Santana, you know, where, or Quincy Jones, where they wrote the song and their name is on it, but somebody else does the singing. So Elvin Bishop wrote the song, but this was Mickey Thomas just prior to replacing Marty Balin in Jefferson Starship. So people go, wait, Jefferson Starship had two lead singers? Yes. Marty Balin gave us songs like Miracles and With Your Love, and then started the Mickey Thomas era, which gave us Sarah and the unfortunate We Built This City. And Mickey Thomas turns 76 years old today. Actress Daryl Hannah is 65 years old today. Born the same day, Julianne Moore is also 65, so happy Senior Citizen Day to those two. Amanda Seyfried is 40 years old today. Singer Andy Grammer is 42. Gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. Actor Brendan Fraser is 57 years old today. Happy birthday to Tiffany Haddish. See, she is 46 today. She is funny. I like Tiffany Haddish. Anna Chomsky is 45. Montel Jordan is 54 years old today. Can somebody correct me? Montel Jordan, one hit wonder? Anything other than this? This is how we do it?
I know nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're onto something here.
Okay. Tony wants to back up on this. The PS5 is $500. Ridiculous. Does that sound right?
I believe it. I don't. Okay. That's cheaper than I thought, actually, to be
honest. I was
going to
say, with iPhones costing like $1,000, I would have thought it was more.
Yeah, it's been like, couple, 2 years now, I guess, for PS5. Okay. So I guess the price would have gone down since.
And about Elvin Bishop and Mickey Thomas and the song lyric, he must have been through about a million girls. Tony says he really should see a doctor for a checkup. Yes, agreed. On this day in 2017, LL Cool J became the youngest person at age 49 to receive a Kennedy Center honor and the first rapper to do so. On this day in 1800, the presidential election had ended in a tie. The Electoral College cast their votes for president and vice president between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. So the election was thrown to the House of Representatives, which deadlocked on 35 ballots. Then finally, on the 36th ballot, Alexander Hamilton threw his support to Jefferson over Burr, and Jefferson became the third president of the United States, and we got some extra lyrics to the Hamilton musical
We thank Lin-Manuel Miranda. We thank you very much for teaching us all of this. So we actually knew a little about this election before Pat started talking about it today.
Yes, we did. Yeah, see?
Thank you, Lin.
On this day in 1967, the first heart transplant on a human where the patient lived and regained consciousness It was only for about 18 days back in 1967. They couldn't control the pneumonia and a weakened immune system. But still, it was the first time that somebody had successfully received a new heart and regained consciousness without the heart needing electrical stimulation. It paved the way for countless lives saved and extended since that time. Let us see what's on today's National Day calendar from Parker.
It is Cookie Cutter Month, Pat.
Cookie Cutter Month.
Yes, I don't think it quite qualifies to need an entire month, but a month is what we have
left. It is the only month that anybody uses cookie cutters, is what you're saying.
This is true.
In part because, I mean, a lot of people, and I know some people still do it, but fewer people than ever throughout the course of the year will make, you know, like sugar cookies and different cookie cutters. And they weren't just the Christmas type. There used to be all kinds of different cookie cutters you could get. And now It's just primarily a holiday thing.
Pat, do you have a favorite cookie cutter?
The closest thing I have to a cookie cutter, I don't even know if it's really a cookie cutter, but you know, it's in the shape of Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And
I like
so
that.
It used to be when I made my Chippewa waffles.
Sure.
I would sometimes use that batter and make a little Chippewa waffle in the shape of Wisconsin.
That's pretty clever.
That's because I love Wisconsin that much.
You
do. That's what I do. So happy Cookie Cutter Month to those of you. And there are still some. I've got a good friend who does the, you know, one weekend during the holiday season, like everybody is in the kitchen rolling out cookies and decorating them or gingerbread houses and everything. So by all means, enjoy. All right.
We have.
Now Tony gets it. Our cookie cutters transitioned to Play-Doh cutters.
Make sure you wash those off, Tony.
And I mean, transitioned. I don't know. Sounds like it needs some kind of gender therapy thing. You know, careful, Tony. They're listening out there. Trust me, they're in the comment sections. What else we got for the days
and the months
and the weeks?
National Candle Day.
National Candle Day.
Yes, National Candle Day. If you're a big candle person. Here you go.
If you're a candle person, is that your way of saying that very few young men in their 20s, do you own any candles whatsoever?
I cannot say that I do. I did. Okay. I think a couple of my roommates did, though, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they bought them themselves. However, they did have them in their possession via mother or girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot here now. I mean, you live in a home for 30 years and you acquire a bunch. I got a bunch from Door County Candle Company. I've pointed to the one on the shelf behind me about Ukraine, but there's also a warm apple pie candle that is nice to light up every now and then, especially if you've burned dinner or something like that.
Yeah, I just remembered, Pat. Oh boy, all right. One of my buddies has been a huge fan of Josh Allen since he got into the NFL.
Okay.
A friend of his, it might have been his girlfriend, I don't remember, got him a Josh Allen scented candle. And I still don't know what that means.
I don't want to know either. Tony's got a couple here. He says, I have a candle that's old book smell. It was a present from my wife. And she also got me a beagle candle, which is also a weird smell.
Yeah.
Which now I want to know, because we talk about artificial flavorings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get things to smell the way that they do? Which I know is just basic chemistry, I'm sure. But what is it that they do to get a candle to smell like an old book or Josh Allen, as the case may be? There's a whole Gwyneth Paltrow thing that we're not going to get into here on the radio. But Josh Allen, Tony writes, does it smell like sweat? I suppose, but like in a good way, or like in a I can't get out of this locker room fast enough, it's so rank in here kind of way.
I don't remember ever smelling it, so for better or for worse, I don't know.
Okay, so happy National Candle Day, whatever your favorite candles happen to smell like. What else we got on the calendar?
There's also National Coats and Toys for Kids Day.
Coats and toys for kids. Love the coat drives, the toy drives. There's always something going on. So by all means, it's going to be super cold tomorrow. And you got to look in your closet and go, okay, it's the coldest day and I'm still not going to wear this particular jacket. It's time to donate it. So yeah, by all means, please do. I'm glad we have a reason to remind people to do that. Anything else?
It is National Let's Hug Day.
National Let's Hug Day. Didn't we have a National Hug Day not that long ago?
Did we?
I thought so. I don't know. Once again, we've got to run to the calendar, Tony's probably running AI on this right now, but I have a feeling that there's been some hugging in there. Anyway, I mean, look, go ahead. Hug it out if you feel so inclined. Maybe while you're making your cookies and lighting your candles.
Yeah.
And setting aside some toys for kids. By the way, you know, toys that are new or gently used, these aren't the ones where, like, your mom says, if you don't pick up your room, I'm going to give your toys away. Don't be doing that to the kids.
Be nice.
Yes, be nice about this. Anyway, still ahead, we're going to talk to Ellie Bordeaux, newsletter editor here at Up North News. And we'll be talking to Chris Hamblick-Boyle in our homeroom section as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We are about 15 minutes away from your next chance to win in our grown-up gift list text to win contest through Civic Media. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will give you a keyword you'll have until 8 o'clock to text it in, and then you'll have more chances, more keywords throughout the day, 7, 9, 11, 1 p.m., 3, 5, and 7, every other hour throughout the course of the day to win a daily prize, $200 cash, and several great grand prizes. I'll tell you more right after the news. But first, a reminder, our question of the day, what are your musical guilty pleasures, which we bring up because of the movie Song Sung Blue about a Neil Diamond tribute band based out of Milwaukee that will be opening up on Christmas Day. Is Neil Diamond a guilty pleasure of yours, as it is occasionally of mine? Or do you have one other that, what would you like to confess to? Confess your musical guilty pleasures on the radio here at 855-75-CIVIC or in the comment sections as well. I don't believe Miley Cyrus counts as a guilty pleasure unless you're, let's say, a dude age, 40 and up. Then it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's not one you're just going to right away go, oh, yeah, I'd listen to every Hannah Montana song that's out there. No.
I mean, nope. I guess I am probably in the age group that should like Hannah Montana and stuff. I never got into it, though. I'm not big on my listeners. I don't know.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's in the news.
Well, she is in the news. She's engaged, Pat. This is a very big deal. She is engaged to her music producer.
To her music producer. Okay. Yes. I understand, you know, workplace romances, they happen. You know, I think of Mariah Carey. Remember, she was married to the guy from, you know, who basically ran the record company. And so what's this guy's name? Max Mirando?
Yes.
Okay. And she was married to a Hemsworth or something, wasn't she?
That sounds right. I don't know.
Yeah. See? My point being, again, I hope the second time is the charm for her, assuming this is the second time around for her.
Liam Hemsworth. Well done, Pat.
Okay, there you go. See, I'm kind of half awake sometimes watching TMZ. I'm like the president in a cabinet meeting. Sometimes I might doze off a little bit, but I try to take in the information that is most important.
Yeah.
Whether it's cabinet officers praising me or the marital status of Miley Cyrus. So congratulations to Miley.
For some reason, I feel like Trump probably cares more about this engagement than you think he should.
Yeah, well, no, right now he's got a thing going with Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, God. I almost put that in here, Pat.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily going to talk about it either.
I was just going to say that she's not happy and leave it at that.
She's not happy about the White House using her song for a video that basically, you know, mocks all of the people that ICE is arresting. And you know, again, the Trump administration continues to lie and say that these are all terrorists and drug runners and everything, when by and large, these are people who are, you know, trying to make a living in this country through a broken immigration system that he is responsible for it still being broke. And, at one point, Sabrina Carpenter told them, your policy is the video is evil and disgusting. Do not ever involve me or my music to benefit your inhumane agenda. And a White House spokeswoman came back and tried to clap back at Sabrina, saying, here's a short and sweet message for Sabrina Carpenter. We won't apologize for deporting dangerous, criminal, illegal murderers, rapists, and pedophiles from our country. Anyone who would defend these sick monsters must be stupid, or is it slow? Apparently referencing another one of Sabrina Carpenter's albums. So this is what we've got in the White House now. People calling you sick monsters, stupid or slow, because you don't like that mass secret police are rounding up people based on a racist policy, rather than actually looking for the people who might be murderers, rapists, and pedophiles. That's where we are in this day and age. This is why we try to take a break at least once a day and go over things like entertainment news, except that, the entertainers sometimes get dragged back into the muck by the guy in the White House.
Wild thing to put a pop song to, by the way. Just wild video.
Well, wild might be, or sick or stupid,
yeah,
to use their own words. Got any happier news for us?
Yes, much happier news, Pat.
Okay,
the Flying Circus. Monty Python, the Flying Circus, Spamalot, the musical. It'll be coming to the U.S. It's on a tour. I believe it begins in Ohio, I think, this week.
Okay.
And it will be in the Marcus Center in Milwaukee on July 14th through the 19th. Pat, this show is described as laughing at yourself and at your own death and your inevitable end, which you can do nothing about.
It is loosely based on the 1975 movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And again, we have to, this is where Parker's list grows. Parker, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Pat, I referenced this like a week ago.
That's right, you did. Oh, we were so proud of you for flinging the cow. Yes. Oh, I feel so much better now.
See?
Now, Spamalot itself goes back to, I think, 2004. Yes, it arrived on Broadway in 2005 and won the Best New Musical Tony Award, which is where, again, now I'm the one going to show my age. It's been around since 2005, 20 years now. I literally cannot remember if I've seen it or not.
Oh,
because
wow.
I've seen a few other, funny plays over time. And can't remember if that was one, because it would have gone back quite a ways.
Are there?
Which it only tells me I can't wait to see it, because it'll be new to me, even
That's
if
true.
I've seen it before.
That's a very good point. We talk about spoofs a lot of late, movies. Are there spoof musicals?
Are there spoof musicals?
Yeah.
You mean,
like, could we qualify this as that?
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah. I'm sure we could. Yes. And I'm sure the listeners will be a lot quicker on the draw than I am to come up with spoof musicals. But yeah, they are definitely a thing. So Spamalot, whether I've seen you or not, welcome back to your U.S. tour, and maybe see you in Milwaukee come July. All right. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, Up North News newsletter editor Ellie Bordeaux. We'll have Chris Hambuck Boyle joining us for our homeroom segment, day two of 12 Days of Kindness. And at 8:35, we'll have Dr. Kelly Snooks. Oh, Tony reminds us, the Book of Mormon. There you go. Real information, great conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.